Hi, I'm Stephanie Lemick, and this is Building Trauma-Informed Workplaces. Today, we're diving into a fascinating topic that you might not immediately associate with the workplace. But trust me, it's more relevant than you think. We're talking about attachment theory today. Now, you might be wondering, what does attachment theory have to do with my job? Well, understanding attachment styles can actually transform how we interact with our colleagues, manage teams, and even lead organizations. By the end of this episode, you'll have a solid grasp on the basics of attachment theory, how it shows up at work, and some practical tips for applying this knowledge to create a more trauma-informed and supportive work environment. So let's go ahead and jump in. First things first, let's break down what attachment theory is all about. This concept was first introduced British psychologist named John Bowlby back in the 1950s. The idea behind attachment theory is pretty straightforward. The relationships we have as infants with our primary caregivers, for most of us, that's usually our parents, shape how we approach relationships throughout our lives. Think of it like this. When we're young, we look for our caregivers for a sense of safety, support, and comfort. If those needs are consistently met, we're more likely to develop a secure attachment style. If they're not, well, that's when we start to see more anxious or avoidant behaviors emerge. Attachment theory was later expanded upon by Mary Ainsworth, who identified specific attachment styles based on how babies reacted when separated from and then reunited with their caregivers. But here's the kicker. These attachment styles just don't disappear when we grow up. They influence how we interact with our partners, friends, and yes, our colleagues at work. So let's break down the four main attachment styles. As I go through these, see if any of them sound familiar. Maybe they remind you of a coworker, a manager, or even yourself. First, let's look at secure attachment. People with secure attachment style tend to be comfortable with closeness and trusting others. They're able to strike a healthy balance between independence and connection. At work, these folks are usually great team players. They're open to collaboration, comfortable with feedback, and resilient in the face of challenges. Number two, let's look at anxious, or sometimes what's referred to as preoccupied, attachment. Now, for those with anxious attachment styles, they often crave approval and reassurance. They might fear being overlooked or undervalued, which can make them hypervigilant to any signs of rejection or criticism. In the workplace, this can show up as seeking constant validation. Think of that coworker who's always asking if they did a good job or who takes feedback a little too personally. Next up, we have the avoidant, or sometimes what's called dismissive, attachment style. These individuals value their independence, sometimes to the point of distancing themselves from others. They might avoid getting too close or be wary of depending on anyone. At work, avoidantly attached individuals might prefer to work alone, resist team projects, or struggle with delegation because in their mind, I can do it better myself. And last, we'll look at fearful avoidant or disorganized attachment style. And this one's a bit of a mix. People with this attachment style may desperately want connection, but also fear getting too close. They often have a push-pull dynamic in relationships. In the workplace, this can look like inconsistency, being super engaged one day and withdrawn the next. These individuals might also have a hard time trusting others, leading to strained work relationships. So now that we know more about each of these attachment styles, how exactly do these attachment styles show up in our day-to-day work lives? In leadership, leaders with secure attachment styles tend to be more effective. They're usually empathetic, able to handle stress, and good at fostering trust within their teams. On the flip side, a leader with an avoidant attachment style might struggle with giving or receiving feedback, coming across as distant or unapproachable, and those with anxious attachment style, well, they might feel overextended in a way to gain approval, and that can often lead to burnout. When we look at teams, think about the dynamics of your team. If you have someone with a secure attachment style, they're likely the glue that holds everything together. They're comfortable with collaboration and can navigate conflicts with ease. However, if someone has an anxious attachment style, they might be overly sensitive to perceived slights, which can lead to misunderstandings. And our avoidant colleagues, they might resist team building activities or shy away from social events, which can impact team cohesion. Let's think about this now for your own personal growth. Your attachment style can even influence your career development. For someone with a secure attachment, they are more likely to take risks, like going for a promotion or speaking up in meetings. Meanwhile, someone with anxious attachment might hesitate to take on new challenges, fearing failure or rejection. And those with avoidant styles, they might shy away from opportunities that require too much collaboration or emotional investment. If you're wondering, hey, Stephanie, we didn't talk about the fearful, avoidant, or disorganized attachment in any of these examples. Well, that's because these styles will show up as either avoidant or anxious, depending on the situation and the person. So those examples can also be for someone with disorganized or fearful, avoidant styles as well. Let's also take a minute and think about how attachment styles can play out in today's remote and hybrid work environments. Anxiously attached employees might struggle with feeling disconnected and may need more check-ins from their managers. Avoidant individuals might actually thrive in remote setups because it gives them the space they crave, but that can also mean they're harder to engage and they can end up feeling more isolated. For leaders, being aware of these tendencies can make a big difference. Regular, meaningful check-ins can help address the needs of those with anxious attachments, while providing clear expectations and autonomy can support your avoidantly attached employees. So what can you do as a leader, HR professional, or even just a team member thinking about how we support the variety of different attachment styles that may be showing up in the workplace? Number one, we want to make sure we're creating psychological safety. Foster an environment where people feel safe to express their concerns, ask questions, and admit mistakes without fear of harsh judgment. Second, be consistent and reliable. For those with anxious attachment, consistency is key. Regular feedback and recognition can go a long way. Three, respect boundaries. If you're managing someone with an avoidant style, respect their need for independence, but also encourage small steps towards collaboration. And four, promote self-awareness. Encourage employees to explore their own attachment styles. This can be through workshops, coaching, or self-reflection activities. Understanding oneself can be a game changer in how we relate to others. And if exploring your team's attachment styles as a group seems a little odd or maybe not a fit for you or your organization, that's okay. You can also explore self-awareness through many other avenues. My personal favorite is using CliftonStrengths and leveraging that tool for both self-awareness and working through better team partnerships as well. So let's go ahead and recap what we've covered today. We explored the basics of attachment theory, how it shapes our interactions at work, and some practical strategies to support different attachment styles. Remember, the goal here isn't to label anyone, but to understand how we can create more supportive, inclusive workplaces. So don't go ahead and take away from this session that you should go ahead and try and decide what someone's attachment styles, assign labels. That's never our goal here. Our goal is always to better understand ourselves and provide supports for how anyone is showing up in the workplace. If this episode sparked any thoughts or questions, I, of course, would love to hear from you. You can also learn more about attachment styles and even kind of take a quiz to learn more about your own attachment style using the link in the podcast notes. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed this short and sweet introduction and discussion to attachment styles and how they might show up at work. Until next time, be well.